I'm going to turn to the beginning of Ephesians. I've been sort of casting about in my mind what to do for our Wednesday night for a little bit, and so I sort of hit on the prison epistles, which is Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And then there's something else that we've been talking about. My wife and I have been talking about for about a month and a half or so. And years ago, this would be, I guess, about 20 years ago, 24 years ago, when we moved into the building, we had a couple of summers where we did Bible quizzing. And we had teams in the church of adults and young people. And Kaylee was too young. We made her be a cheerleader. And she's trying to black those memories out. Anyway, so it was a lot of fun, and it helped. We were working on James the one year, and Debbie says we did it in 1 Timothy? 2 Timothy. I can't remember doing that one, but I knew we did it twice. And everybody liked it. And I thought, you know, that was a lot of fun. We should do that again. So we've been battling it about how we're going to do this, because the way our church is now, right now, I don't want to stop preaching in Hebrews and go to one of these books to do Bible quizzing from it. And then on the second hour, we have the Bible study and the Sunday school classes, and everybody's broken up, and there's lessons already planned and so forth. And so we sort of need everybody to be learning the same thing at the same time. So we decided that what we'll do is we're going to, first of all, promote this like everything and try to get people to sign up on Sunday for this, to create teams. And then we will start working. We're going to do it in Philippians. So it's one of the prison epistles. And so what we're then going to do, I will be teaching Philippians on Wednesday night. We'll be encouraging everybody who isn't able to come. Not everybody can come out on a Wednesday night. Encourage them anyway to watch the live stream and to be studying Philippians hard. And then, I'm guessing in August, we'll be doing the quizzing time. We'll have about a month and a half or so of preparation. And then we'll plan. Now, it does depend on people signing up. Like if we just have two people sign up, that's not going to be fun. Okay? Cullen would still do it. That's right. Cullen was a part of the James Brothers team way back then. He and Rory and this other Matt, one of the men in the church, he was their Sunday school teacher, I guess, and his son. They were the James Brothers. And Maureen was part of the Joyful Jewels, I think. Okay? I'm pretty sure that's what team you were on. Anyway, that was all based on the book of James, you know, different things from the book of James. It was a lot of fun. And it helped people learn the Bible, helped them learn that book. So that's sort of the plan. And so tonight, I'm going to do an introduction on the whole whack of the prison epistles, but mostly we're going to be talking about Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon tonight, just a little bit about Philippians. But that's all right. We're just going to see. First of all, we want to gauge a response. So we're going to have a sign-up sheet on Sunday, and I hope as many as possible be interested. You don't have to be a Bible genius. You just learn, and there will be opportunities for you to. There will be easy questions and hard questions. Not too hard. All easy. She was looking out quiz questions on Philippians on the internet, and there were some pretty hard ones that they were asking. You're not going to use those. Okay, all easy. All right. So, she's promising. You can hold her to it. Yeah. So anyway, so we're going to see if we need to have some participation. We need people to participate. I think it'll be fun. I think it's in the summertime, do things a little bit different and just, you know, get more people involved in things, and I think it's good. So that's the plan. All right, so now we're going to go to this introduction. We're going to introduce these books. Now, you already know if Ephesus and Philippi and Colossae are the three cities that are involved with the prison epistles. we Ephesus and Laodicea. Colossae is just a few miles, 15 miles or so from Laodicea. And they were among the seven churches of Revelation. And we just recently studied those. And by the way, that was where Maureen and Rob went on their recent trip. And I forgot to put this in the bullet. I don't know what's wrong with me. But Rob is going to do a presentation on Sunday during the Bible study time of the seven churches of Revelation, the archaeological remains of those cities, and talking about their place in history. And I think that will be very good. That'll be during the Bible study time. But anyway, so we know a little bit about these cities. We know a little bit about Philippi. Everybody's familiar with the story of the Philippian jailer and the and so forth. So there's a certain amount of this that we already have some knowledge about as far as the cities. So what we want to talk about tonight is who was Paul writing to and why was he writing and when was he writing? So in order to do this, I'm going to just read the first little bit of Ephesians, and I am going to, just the first two verses really. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so that's the beginning. That introduces Ephesians. Now, we're going to look at the chronology of Paul's life here. So there is a little bit of debate on this, but I peg the conversion of Paul at A.D. 32. Now, there is debate. The problem is there are some hard dates in the book of Acts, and you have to fit everything that the Bible says into those hard dates. And I know that people work the chronology the opposite way, using Daniel's 70th week and so forth, and all of the things that are, or 70 weeks, and they work it out that the Lord was crucified in A.D. 33. Now that's possible, and a lot of good Bible scholars believe that, but I just don't see how it works with Paul's conversion. And in Galatians he says, about 14 years ago, and if that and the hard dates in Galatians mean that has to happen before Paul went to Jerusalem with the famine relief, which was in 46 AD. That is a hard date. You can't get around that. So 14 years ago goes back to his conversion, AD 32. Okay, so that's the thing. That's where I peg it there, and I put the crucifixion in the AD 30. Now, not that it matters. It's not a doctrinal question. But there are these little puzzles, and we'll all figure it out eventually. I'm sure Paul will say, no, we were using this calendar. You're all off. So, I don't know. Anyway, when we're in heaven. But, okay, so then his first visit to Jerusalem is 34 AD. Okay, this is after he's converted, then he spent some time in Damascus, and in that region, and the Lord was training him, and then he comes to Jerusalem. He joined the pastoral team in Antioch in AD 42, approximately. His second visit to Jerusalem, this is with a famine offering, 45 to 46 AD. So Galatians says, after 14 years, this is likely from his conversion point, counting parts of years as full years in the Jewish fashion. And that famine, we know when that happened. That one is a hard date, so that's one that we have to fit everything into. And then the first missionary journey then begins about 47 AD. He comes back from Jerusalem with this offering, and then shortly after that, the Spirit says, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the ministry that I've called them to. And they go off on the first missionary journey. First they go to Crete. Then they go up to, what's the sea port there? Is it Antioch of Pisidia? Maybe Antioch of Pisidia is inland. I can't quite remember the name of the city on the coast that they start at. They work their way up to through to Lystra and Derbe, and then they come back the same route, and they end up in Antioch again. Then the Jerusalem Council, 49 AD. That's another hard date. That's really pretty well established, 49 AD. Then the second missionary journey begins shortly after that, about 49 to 50. And the third missionary journey begins about 53 to 54. So he's arrested in Jerusalem. After the third missionary journey, he comes back to Jerusalem. He's arrested. Remember, he's carrying the offering. He'd been collecting that offering. We talked a lot about that in our 2 Corinthians study and 1 Corinthians study. And so he's imprisoned in Caesarea then from 57 A.D. to 59 A.D. Now, this is a suggested time and place for these prison epistles. Some people think Paul wrote these while he was in Caesarea. It seems unlikely. There's a number of reasons why it seems unlikely, but some people think this is where Paul wrote these epistles. Then we have the shipwreck, which is the winter of 59 to 60 A.D. Then the first Roman imprisonment, 60 to 61 A.D. This is the likely time and place of writing these letters. The second Roman imprisonment, 65 to 67 A.D. And then Paul's execution, 67 A.D. approximately. Okay? So that gives you the timeline. Paul is near the end of his ministry. We have here, I'm not sure if I put this in your notes, but I have Acts 28 verses 30 and 31. The first Roman imprisonment lasted apparently 2 years. Acts 28, 30 to 31. He stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness unhindered. So Paul, in his first imprisonment in Rome, was under house arrest, basically. He had his own place, and he was able to communicate with visitors. He had guards with him all the time. He evangelized the guards. We'll find out, that's mentioned in Philippians, and we'll find out all about that and in there. And so he kept on preaching. And he had a hearing before Nero, apparently. And it seems like, as we study the New Testament, that Paul was released at some point. But then he was imprisoned again when Nero began his went into his bad Nero phase and started persecuting the Christians. So the time when all the four prison epistles were written is this first Roman imprisonment. All of them mention Paul's bonds. So in Ephesians, we have it mentioned in chapter 3 and verse 1. I'll just, seeing as I'm there, I'll just read that. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, and so on. There's a mention in chapter 6, verse 20, Philippians 1, 12 to 13, Colossians 1, 24 and 4, 18, and in Philemon, verse 1. So he is, all of them, this is why they're called the prison epistles. They talk about when he was in prison for the gospel's sake. Now, the other thing that ties all of these together are the companions that are mentioned more than once and in more than one epistle. They're not mentioned in all four of them, but they're mentioned, some of them in Ephesians, some of them Ephesians and Colossians, some of them in Colossians and Philippians, some of them in Ephesians and Philippians. Philemon also mentions some of them in a couple of places. So there's Tychicus, Timothy, Epaphroditus, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Mark, Epaphras, Luke, and Demas. These are the names that are mentioned again and again in these books. So that ties all of these books together, and it ties it in to the first Roman imprisonment. Is there any comments or questions you might have before I move on to the next section? None? Okay, this is very dry, boring stuff. Cullen?
I guess with the timeline, so we're saying that these were certainly written after all three missionary journeys.
Yes, they're written after all the three missionary journeys. That's right. So that's, yes, James.
Yeah, the epistles he wrote in prison were only about four of them, right?
Yes, these four, yes.
Oh, okay,
now, Timothy, Second Timothy was written in prison as well. So that's why we know he's in prison. First Timothy, he may have been out of prison. And so that's why they suppose that there's two imprisonments, not just one. So that's that's how that is all. And Titus as well is written along about the same time as First Timothy, I think. All right, Cullen.
Like, why are those not linked with the four as the twofold?
Well, it's because they seem to be mentioning a period of freedom where he's able to move about. And he says, I'm going to come, meet me in such and such a place. So it seems to be that he has freedom of movement. So that's why. But Second Timothy, he's definitely in prison.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so that's right. So that's why we suggest there's two imprisonments. Okay? It's not a prison. Well, not usually. It's classed in the pastoral epistles because he's writing to Timothy as a pastor and so forth.
But technically,
it is a prison epistle, but not a prison epistle. the technical name for it is a pastoral. These are the prison epistles. All right, don't mess up my mind here. Okay. Any other questions? I don't want to confuse you, but it's these four that are from the first imprisonment. All right. So the order of the epistles is the next thing I want to talk about. So under composition, the order of the epistles. All right. So Colossians, Philemon, and Ephesians are written almost at the same time. It's really hard to tell which one was written first. Okay, so I've got some quotes here, and again, I don't remember what I put on your page. I tried to cut out a lot of this from your pages, but if you want to look at Ephesians 6, verses 21 and 22, but he says, but that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us, and that he may comfort your hearts. So he mentions Tychicus here in Ephesians 6. Then at the end of Colossians 4, verses 7 through 9, as to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number. They will inform you about the whole situation here. That's in Colossians 4. So, verses 7 through 9. Okay. And at the end of Ephesians, the King James adds these words. To the Ephesians written from Rome by Tychicus. That means Tychicus carried it. Okay. And it adds this to the end of Philemon, written from Rome to Philemon by Onesimus, a servant. Okay, so here's the scenario that Paul wrote all three of these all at the same time, roughly. One of them obviously had to be first. It's very unlikely that he was writing them all at the same time. Though I was talking to a fellow the other day, he was telling me about Origen. He said Origen was a prolific writer. Now, Origen comes much later, of course. He was a prolific writer, and he would have a room full of scribes, and he would dictate to one of them one book, and he'd go for 15, 20 minutes. Then he would turn to the next scribe, and he would start dictating a totally different book, and then he would move on to the next one. He'd have four or five books going at the same time. So I thought, wow, you know, the guy was. Certainly, he had some problems theologically, but he was certainly a genius. I mean, if you can do that, have four books going in your head at the same time, that's pretty amazing. And to keep it together, and then when you come back to the first scribe, you pick up where you left off. That would be something else, wouldn't it? Anyhow. Now, I don't think Paul was doing that. So he's writing these three books, Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon. Colossians and Ephesians have a lot of material that's the same or very similar. So they One of my introductory books assumes they were written in the order Colossians, Philemon, Ephesians, and then Philippians. Now, personally, I really can't see how we can really tell whether Colossians or Ephesians was written first of these three. They were all written about that same time, and the order isn't that important. Now, Philippians appears to be later than the first three prison epistles, near the end of the first imprisonment. So here's a quote from Philippians 2, 19 to 24. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. Verse 23, therefore I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me, and I trust in the Lord that I myself will also will be coming shortly. So at the end of Philippians, he says, I'm coming to see you. Okay, so this is again another reason why we think that he was released from prison after the first imprisonment. Okay, but we don't have any other data than these little hints in the epistles. We don't have, the act stops with that first imprisonment in Rome, and we don't have any more. I would like to have a little bit more, but we don't. All right, so that's where we're at. Any questions on that part of it so far? Okay, everybody clear? These books are very similar. They're written. Now, I will say this. Well, I'm going to let me hold off on this last thing before. So Colossians is written to deal with a particular problem. So a man named Epaphras has come from Colossae to Rome to talk to Paul. And there's a problem with doctrinal deviancy in Colossae. So Paul is addressing this deviancy. He has never been to the city of Colossae. The theory is that Epaphras was converted under his ministry in Ephesus and then went over to Colossae, his hometown, and started a church there. But then after some time, there's been some trouble, some doctrinal problems. So Paul is dealing with those doctrinal problems in Colossae. There's another factor that ties Paul to Colossae. While he's in Rome, he meets up with this man named Onesimus. Who's Onesimus? Well, he happens to be a slave owned by a man named Philemon, who also appears to be a convert of Paul. Now, Philemon lives in Colossae, and he is, and some people even think he's the pastor of the church of Colossae. We don't know that for sure, but he's certainly a prominent member of the church. Onesimus ran away, which is, under Roman law, he could have been executed. Okay, but Paul meets up with Onesimus in Rome, and he leads him to the Lord, and he becomes a servant of the Lord and working with Paul in Rome. And so Paul says, "Now Onesimus, you're going to have to make these things right. That you've the injuries you've done to your master, I'm going to send you back." And he's going to decide what's going to happen to you. Now he puts, you read Philemon, and Paul puts a lot of pressure on Philemon. Send him back to me. He's very helpful to me. All right? So he wants Philemon to send him back. But it's Philemon's decision. And so that's what the book of Philemon's all about. It's a very interesting little book. Teaches us other things as well. But so Tychicus and Onesimus are carrying these letters as they head back from Rome across the Adriatic Sea. They're going to head from Ephesus on up to Colossae. Okay. Now, there is a special problem. This is called the special problem of Ephesians. I read the first verse of Ephesians, and I'll read it again. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, those two words, at Ephesus, that's where the problem lies in the text. They are missing from the three older manuscripts, All other manuscripts that have Ephesians include these words. Now, it is, and you'd say, well, okay, that's just a mistake. That would be one response. It could be just a mistake. Church history, everyone except for one heretic thought that the book of Ephesians was written to the Ephesians, right? So it's not a matter of question. There's just this question about these two words. It's not a doctrinal matter. Does it matter if that was, if those words were there or not? Well, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have any theology in it. But it's one of those puzzles. Like, why do those words get left out? And then this fellow, this heretic, his name is Marcion. He lived from the year, roughly year 85 to 160. He claimed it was written to the Laodiceans and not the Ephesians. Okay? Now, Tertullian, who came a little bit later than Marcion, dismissed Marcion's claims as a heretic. He says that heretic falsified his copy of Ephesians. Okay, so he accused Marcion of messing with the text. Okay, now, there are others, however, of the ancient world who mention this problem in the text. So this dispute suggests that at least some manuscripts available in those early times omitted the words. Okay, do you follow what I'm saying? Because people were raising questions about it, and they were talking about it, it is clear that some manuscripts omitted the words. And so various church fathers were aware of this problem. Now, most of the manuscripts that we have the church, whoever, wherever they are at, in these old ancient hand-copied manuscripts, most of them were copied later, and they're universally saying, when they're copying Ephesians, they say, at Ephesus, the words are there, okay? However, Origen, Basil the Great in the 4th century, and Jerome in the 5th century were all aware that there was a dispute about these words. And so one commentary says, this is enough to show that an uncertainty, to say the least, attached itself both early and widely to these two words. All right, but as I mentioned, it's not a matter of doctrinal importance, but it's something that people might bring up. And so that's why I'm talking about it. Cullen, you want to?
Be misremembering, but I read in a commentary somewhere that it was written like as a generic epistle to multiple churches.
That's what we're getting to. Okay. That's what we're getting to. All right, so Ephesians has this unique feature. It has no personal greetings. Remember, at the end of Romans, you have a whole chapter of names. At the end of almost every other epistle Paul has, he names it. Greet so and so. Say hello, and this brother says hello to whoever. So he has these personal greetings. Ephesians has no personal greetings. It's unique in that way. If you look at the end of Colossians, he has personal greetings, even to people he has never met, people he's just heard about. Okay? Ephesians has none of that. In the book of Ephesians, Paul addresses no local problems or mentions any converts. Now, you'd think, okay, how long was Paul in Ephesus? Who remembers? 3 years. Okay? 3 years. Do you think he might have known one or two people in Ephesus still? Of course he did. Okay, so he had friends in Ephesus, but he doesn't mention any of them by name. Now, I said again, even though this little problem, it's a little problem, but even though this little problem is there, almost all the church fathers, when they talk about this, say this book was written to the Ephesians. So here's the proposal, as Cullen just mentioned. Ephesians was probably a circular letter. It wasn't intended just for the church in Ephesus. It was a general letter about the doctrine of the church that Paul wanted to get out to the churches. It probably went to Ephesus first. And then maybe it went around the circuit of the 7 churches. There is a little line in Colossians 4:16, and I'm just going to turn there so that you can see that line, 4:16, or you can hear it, I don't know, you can turn there with me if you like. He says in that verse, when this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Now, it's the wording here is interesting too. He says there's a letter coming from Laodicea. It's not a letter written to Laodicea, it's a letter coming from Laodicea. A lot of scholars think that is Ephesians. It was being circulated, and it was going, the schedule was it was going to come to Laodicea, and he intended for the people in Colossae to read it also. It was going to come from Laodicea to him. That's their suggestion. So that is how these books came about, these three. They are all addressing. Now, the Philippians is not coming about. I think the main letter Paul wanted to write was the letter of Ephesians, the letter about the doctrine of the church at this time. Then he had the issue come up about this church in Colossae, and he had the issue of Onesimus. So he thought, okay, I'll send all of these at the same time. They're going to the same general area. I'll send them with Tychicus and Onesimus. And that's what happened. Later on, in his imprisonment, he received an offering from the church in Philippi. And so he writes Philippians as a thanksgiving testimonial to that church. And he teaches them some things along the way. And that's how Philippians comes about. Okay, any questions at this point about everything we've talked about? Does that all make sense? So why do we talk about these things? Because the reason this is important, this little question about these two words, these two obscure words in the book of Ephesians is the lack of them in some manuscripts raises a question. Why are they not there? Okay. We believe that in inspiration, the doctrine of inspiration, that God breathed out every word that's in the Bible. But when we find a discrepancy in the copies, then it makes us nervous. Which one is the right one? We have to think about why it might or might not be there. And so we try to reason it out. I think quite clearly, from the tradition of the church, this letter originally went to Ephesus as the main church in that region and then circulated amongst the others. It probably was the letter that Paul wanted the Colossians to read. And we can depend on it, of course, because that's what this book is. But it is the Word of God. But it's one of those little curiosities. It's not a thing, I don't think most people would rate this one as a very big difference, but all the commentaries talk about it. If you read a commentary on Ephesians, I don't want you to get shaken up by anything that they might say, but that you've had some exposure to that idea. All right, any other, any last comments or questions? Rob?
Just going to say, that makes a lot of sense because of that geographical area of the seven churches.
Yeah.
It's relatively close together.
Yeah.
But compared to, say, Philippi.
Yeah, Philippi is on the other side of the sea. Yeah, that's right.
So those other ones could easily be circulated.
That's right.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right, anybody else have a comment or a question? Okay, well, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time tonight. We've had some introductory matters to talk about. Lord, we pray that as we move forward, we'll be getting into the richness of your word, and especially as we study Philippians, Lord willing, that we would be able to enjoy it together as we study it, not just for as a matter of personal interest, but then for the quizzing time and the church working together, studying the Bible together. We do pray that you'll bless our church through this. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.